The scriptures this morning comes from Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 26, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. And these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, adultery, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, I am warning you. As I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, compete against each other, envying one another. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Is everybody awake? It's a beautiful day. I'm so glad to be here, aren't you? Today we are studying new sermon series. The title is Taking Jesus With You On Your Vacation. And also, as we spend summer, if we walk, drive, talk, and think, and do things in the presence of Jesus Christ, and things will be different. You know, during the summer, we plan many things. Some of us, we even save money to have a wonderful vacation and plan and check on the internet where's the best place and what are the things that we can do, amenities and swimming pool and all that. So we plan vacation, and some of you go to camps and mission trips too. Some of you grown up, how about a family reunion? So family visit and all, many things happen. But to be honest with you, even myself and our family, there are times when I was young, because I didn't control my temper, because certain things didn't go the way that I wanted to go or happen, and because of that, there are times that a few times I lost my temper. All right. And I did that, and then, you know, say things, tend to blame my wife, and things could get not that pleasant. So, summer and vacation and camps and this time could be really a good, a wonderful time of renewal, but at the same time it could be some not unpleasant time and also very exhausting. Because of that, oftentimes we say, after spending much money and time, and then we say, coming home, and say, I was so glad to be home. And after unpack everything, we get to say, you know, I can really use real vacation, something quiet and nice without all that, you know, fuss. And that's sometimes how we feel. So, Steph and we discussed this, and we're going to start this new sermon series. The goal is, with God, if we take God's wisdom and apply that, if we take Jesus with us on our vacation, and driving with Jesus in the car, and talking with Jesus when we are really upset and mad, in all those times, taking Jesus with us and listening to the Holy Spirit and following that, and I believe that our summer and vacation can be fun and also really renewing experience. And also another thing is, because summer is so busy, unlike what we think before summer, we have so many things and saying that, you know, summer comes and I'm going to do this. And by the time summer is almost end, then we get to, you know, I didn't get actually much done. And I'm kind of more stressed. That can happen. And even because of the busyness of our life, even we may neglect our faith and walk with Christ. So the goal is, can we taking Jesus with us in our vacation and spending time with Jesus? In that way, we have more meaningful and wonderful summer, and even this summer, we grow closer to Christ in our walk with Christ. That is our goal. Are you interested in it? Here's the thing. With that, I've been praying and thinking. I believe God spoke to me to share this Galatians passage, fruit of the Spirit. So that's what actually we will be starting week after week. Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and those things. Before that, let's think about what was going on in the book of Galatians. What was going on? What made Paul say certain things? Paul is writing this letter, very emotional letter. If you read this at home, it won't take even 30 minutes. It has only 6 chapters. If you read through, then you will be able to understand Paul's struggle and challenge as the pastor of our churches. And first thing is, first to understand why Paul said certain things like 5:16 through 26. First to understand that clearly, we need to understand now what was happening in that church. One thing was people were losing faith. This is what I mean by that. Paul and Barnabas believed that they went through this region called Syria, modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. They went through and preached the gospel, and people responded, and every city they went and they started a church. So, there are many churches in Galatia, the region, modern-day Turkey. In those regions, as long as Paul was there with them as their pastor and helping them to grow spiritually, they were doing great. But after Paul left, they began to slack or backslide in their faith. Even some of them, they were abandoning their faith. So Paul, after hearing that, he was of course very concerned, that this is what he was saying. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? If you read chapter 5, Paul said, how come you are, what keeps you from doing and following Jesus Christ? In other words, these people, initially, they were very excited with enthusiasm. They were following Paul and doing the things. However, after Paul left, they were slackening in their faith, even abandoning their faith and following pagan gods and even doing sorcery and other things, unthinkable things. They start doing that. And so Paul heard that and he was deeply concerned. So he had to say things about basic things about the Christianity, how one is being saved through faith, not other things. So that's going on. He was very concerned. People may be in Galatians, they were busy. There was places and churches were located middle of major trade route between east and west. Probably they were busy, business and many things. So after Paul left, they were slackening in their faith. Were losing their faith. And another thing is they were confused. After Paul left, some people, if you read the Bible, there says false apostles or false teachers, they snuck into the church and began to say, you know what, who preached to you? Who's your pastor? They said, Paul was our pastor. Oh, that's not good. And they were saying that if Paul was your pastor, that's not good. You guys must have not heard real gospel, real way of salvation. What those false teachers or prophets were saying, that, you know what, you need to think this with us. Paul did not follow Jesus like Peter and James and other disciples saw Jesus alive. You got that? And people were saying, you're right. They didn't follow Jesus. Therefore, he is not real, true, genuine disciple of Jesus. How come you guys listen to him? His preaching and teaching you can't trust. So if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul goes on and explains, I was born as a Jew, I persecuted Jesus. And then he says, you know what? Maybe Peter and James or John, those guys, they got their commissions from Jesus while Jesus was alive. But I got it directly from heaven. Revelation. God spoke to me through Jesus. That was his defense. The point is, people, they were confused. And they were confused thinking that Paul's teaching, salvation by faith, by trusting Jesus Christ, who died and risen for our sins, that is not enough. That's what those false teachers were teaching and undermining Paul's authority as an apostle. Paul was really mad if you read the gospel. He was really emotional. And with that, Paul was saying that don't be confused. Salvation, there is no other gospel, only this gospel. That is, Jesus Christ died for our sins, gave his life for us. You believe in him, through that your sins are forgiven, and you become children of God and Holy Spirit by believing in Jesus and hearing this goodness of Jesus Christ. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. That's how you become children of God. That's how you are saved. Don't be confused. Okay, would you? How come you need to go back to the way that you didn't know Jesus Christ? That was the second thing. Another thing that Paul was addressing is this. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Their faith was slackening and backsliding. They are confused in terms of how they are saved. And they began to nibble here and there in a pagan other things and teachings. But some of the teachings they were saying that, because Paul says in 5:6, do not use your freedom for an opportunity to sin. Hear that? Do not use your freedom as an opportunity to commit sin. That means there are some false teachers and people saying that, you know, you are saved. Therefore, whatever you do with your body won't harm you. They won't affect your relationship with Christ. Whether you commit adultery, steal, and drink drugs, and all kinds of things, drinking too much, and, you know, making yourself really kind of, you know, unclean, all those things won't affect you at all. You are free. You can do whatever you want. That's why Paul had to say, do not use your freedom as an opportunity to sin. Meaning then is these people, they were slackening in their faith, they are confused in their doctrine and faith, and because of that, they were morally very, very bad, become immoral. And with that, there have been fighting inside a church. Did that? Bite, devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. The best imagery that can capture what Paul was saying, that you see in TV, Discovery Channel, lions, when two male lions fight for his territory or their territory, you see in there, until one kills another, you see some of that. That's the imagery of that. That's what was happening in the church in Galatia. You may ask, Pastor, this passage or this book is not about 10 steps that you can have a wonderful vacation. It doesn't talk about that. Or 5 ways you have a memorable summer. It doesn't say that. And what is the relevance here? The relevance is here. What I'm saying, don't you think with me? That is, summer is a time that we can easily backslide and neglect our walk with Christ. Because so many things happen. We plan and travel a lot. Because of the like the Galatians, it is so easy for us to neglect our faith and slackening in our journey with Christ. And it is also so easy for us following our flesh, and then whatever disagrees with me, whatever doesn't go the way that I want, whether that is food, whatever vacant place, what the size of the swimming pool, what the room that you are assigned by your parents is not as big as your sisters, whatever that is, it is so easy for us to lose our faith while slackening our faith, and also it is so easy for us to lose our temper and fight, yell and scream and angry and behaving not as Christ follows. I've done that enough. That's why we need to listen to the Word of God and hear what God has to teach us. With that, Paul is teaching us here's remedy. There's better way. You are forgiven, children of God. Holy Spirit is in you. And because you are children of God, God has given you this wonderful inheritance. Among them, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You remember and believe that and follow that and use that. You will have difference in your summer and also your life. So with that, Paul is saying, do not follow your flesh, the flesh, but follow the Holy Spirit who lives in you, in every believer, and follow the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, you will do well. With that saying, that unlike all the fleshly thing, Paul says, if you live up by the Spirit, walk up by the Spirit, and are led by the Spirit, and follow the Spirit, these are the promises of God. The fruit of the Spirit is what? And by the time I finish this sermon series, I want all of us to memorize and be able to recite this, because you begin to not only remember, apply to your lives daily. Let this fruit of the Spirit come out of you naturally. With that, love, peace, patience, generosity. There is no law against such things. This is the way I understand this passage. There is no law against such things. That means if we believe that we are children of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and God has already given us this inheritance, fruit of the Spirit to us. And believing in that began to apply as you drive and go vacation, spend summer, and having family reunion and things like that, and then nothing can and will be able to stop us from having great summer. Nothing will stop us from growing closer to Christ. That's how I understand. There's no law against such a thing. Nothing can stop us from following Christ and a wonderful summer. Think this with me. GPS is global positioning system. Those 9 fruit of the Spirit as God's, not global, God's positioning system to lead us and guide us, and then apply that. Why is that? As you go on vacation, as you get in the car, this is what the children, they say, Mom, Dad, are we there yet? They ask that as soon as you get in a car. We just got in the car. We just turned around the corner. And they started asking, Mom, Dad, are we there yet? When are we going to see Mickey Mouse? Are we going to Disneyland? How long? And then in those times, guess what? You need what? Patience. Right? In those times, we can, you know, stop that. We can yell and scream, you know, you all of us, how many times? Stop asking that question, okay? You're going to get there soon. Instead of that, we can say, while Dad is driving, Mom is sitting next to the child and saying, honey, I want you to see this map. Well, open your, you know, tablet or whatever that is, and show the map. This is our home. This is where we are going to Florida. And then this is how much we came. Guess what? We have about 2 hours left. Hooray. And if you're nice, then we watch one more movie, Toy Story 3. And then, about an hour and a half that, and we'll get there. Get it? And with that, I ask the Lord, Lord, give me patience, please. Yeah. And then, you arrived at your vacation place at the beach, then your family decided to go out and eat out dinner together at a very nice seafood and steak restaurant. You ordered your food, and it turned out that the crab meat was really not fresh. And also, your steak was too well done. It tastes like a tire chewing. You have that experience? And you can say, oh, I hate this vacation. Oh, you know, Mom, you have chosen wrong place and wrong restaurant. I told you I didn't like this. You can go on and on. Or you can use one of the gifts of joy and saying, you know, crepe wasn't that fresh. However, broccoli and salad was fresh. they may say, you know, Dad, the stay wasn't that good. However, you know, I'm very thankful that we could have this vacation together as a family. Besides, I love the way you fix steak at our home. I love you, Dad or Mom. And you can use another gift of the Spirit, joy. Some of you, mature members, I know you are looking forward to have a family reunions with your in-laws and all that. When you went there, sometime, some of the other members of the family, they always drag out something in the past and say things to rub you the wrong way. In this moment, that's why I don't want to come for a family reunion again. Oh, never, never. Yeah, you just ask God. Lord, I believe that your Holy Spirit is with me. I have, as an inheritance, this fruit of the Spirit. Lord, please give me gentleness. We can see that if we really believe and put this into practice, there will be a huge difference in our lives. However, some of you are thinking, I know, Pastor, I know I heard, but it sounds really hard. I don't think I can do that. My patience, my joy, I don't have that. I don't think I can. Anybody? Well, you all said, you know, I can do this. For not all of that, I have all of them. I mastered all of them. Here's the thing. If you feel, I know, I want to do that, but that's just too much. I don't think I can do it. I can't do this. And if you feel that way, and that is actually good, because it never meant to be done on our own strength. Would you remember that? On our own patience, on my own joy, on my own will, we can't, none of us. That's why we need God and God's Spirit. We can't, I can't, but as we remember this promise of God, this truth of God, and as we remember and believe and rely on the Holy Spirit, then we can do. I want you here. This is great promise in Galatians 4, 6 through 7. It says, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. If a child, then also an heir through God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit with us. That's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit with us. Right? That's why we have. And also, likewise, Romans 5:15, the same thing. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. This is what I am asking you to apply this summer. As you coming in, you all have received this? Okay. Whenever that moment that really frustrates you, make you really angry and mad, in those moments, you know what? Pull this out and say, Abba, Father, God, you are with me. I really, really can use your patience. Please help me. But did I ask, in this moment, pull this out and say this, Abba, Father, I'm your child. You have given me the Holy Spirit and also this fruit of the Spirit. Please, now, I need it now. Gentleness, joy, and see if how that practice changes your summer and your vacation. Would you pray with me? As you pray, I want you to pause and think. Don't we have all not happy memories of summer and vacation? Those moments of yelling and screaming, deep sighing about frustration. Friends, it doesn't have to be that way. We have this wonderful power and good news through Jesus Christ. You and I, we are children of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Anytime and anywhere, we can call out to God, Abba, Father, help me. Give me your patience. Give me your joy. Give me your gentleness, self-control, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, that's what we are asking. And also, Lord, help us during this summer, we draw closer to you. We ask this in Jesus Christ, his holy name. Amen.